Mishnah Yom is for Friday, the 10th day of Nisan, Tavshin Pei Dalad. Masech Nazir, Perik Revi, Mishnah Dalad. Ha'isha Shanodr Benazir. A woman took upon herself to be a Nazira. V'hifrishas Behemta. And she completed successfully the whole Nazirathood, the period of Nazirathood. And she even set aside the animals that she requires to bring after the completion of his Nazirathood. And they are a lamb for a korban oila, a male lamb, a female lamb, or a ewe for a chatas, sin offering, and a ram for a shlamim. These are the three that are brought at the end of every person who is a nazir after they complete their nazirite. V'achar kach hefer lo baila. And afterwards, her husband decided to break her naziris. He said, no, I'm breaking it. He only heard about it later, obviously, and as soon as he heard about it, he broke it. Now, this opinion holds, this Tanakhama holds, that as long as none of the animal's bloods has been put on the Mizbeach, the husband can still break the neder. And once he breaks it, then she doesn't bring the Karbonis anymore, because the Karbonis of Tahara means when she completed it in a state of purity, she didn't become Tomei, she didn't Sheveh, that's only if she's a Nazira. But she's not a Nazir anymore because he broke it, so she doesn't need a Karbonis. What do you do with the Karbonis now? Says the Mishnah as follows. Im shaloi hoisa behemta. If the animals that she set aside were her husband's. So the husband had given her permission to take three of the animals and she could offer them. So when now she doesn't need those animals, teitzeh v'tira ba'edah. The animals can go out, graze with the field. There's no kedusha in the animals, and the husband and they can use them as he did, just as ordinary, called in ordinary animals. Why is that? And that's because the animals belonged to him, to the husband. He only gave it to her for the purpose of her Nazirite, for Nazirite to bring as a korban, as a Nazira. But if she doesn't need it anymore, because she's not a Nazira, then the husband says, they're mine, they're not yours anymore. And therefore, if they're not hers, no kedusha fall on them. She can't make someone else's animals kodesh. However, v'im shelohoisa behemta, but if the animals that she set aside were hers, now how can a woman own property in her own right? Normally the Gemara says, what a woman owns, her husband owns. Masha konsa isha konsa baila, she's like an extension of her husband. And the Gemara explains that could be if someone gave her a present of these animals on condition that the husband has no rights over them at all. And if someone does that, then she can own things in her own right. Now, if that's the case, then when she reserved these animals for the chatos, the ol, and the shlomim respectively, she has the power to do that. And Kedusha does descend upon the animals even after her husband has broken the Nazira. But what are we going to do with these animals? She doesn't need them anymore. There's Kedusha on them. Yes, there's a status of a Chatos on the animal, a status of an Ola, but what do you do with it? Says the Mishnah as follows. Hachatos Tomos, the sin offering, the female lamb that was set aside as a sin offering has to die, Tomos. Why? Because it has a din like a chatos shemeso bala. It's like a chatos whose owner had died, and the halach of such an animal is you let it die. They lock it up until it dies. V'ho'ola, the animal that was set aside, reserved as a korban ola, tikrav ola, that can be brought as an ola, it'll be an olas nedava. It'll be a gift offering. No problem with that. You can always offer an olas nedava, a gift offering. You can't do it with a sin offering, chatos, that's why it had to be destroyed, or had to be left to die. The hashlomim, now the korban that she set aside as a shlomim, yikrivu shlomim, that can be brought as a korban shlomim, peace offering, also as a nadava. But unlike a normal shlomim, which can be eaten for 2 days and the intervening night, that means the day of the shchita, the next night and the next day, v'necholonim echad, here this can only be eaten, this shlomim can only be eaten for 1 day, the night of the day. The night and then the following day. Why? Because since this shlomim was set aside by her as a shalmei nazir, even though she's not a nazira anymore, it still retains the status of a Shalmei Nazir because it was her animals, and therefore it's subject to the restrictions or limitations of a Shalmei Nazir, which is only for a day and a night to eat. Ve'einon tonin lechem, but they do not require the bread that's normally brought or the matzahs that are normally brought with the korban shlamim of a nazir. Normally there's a chalas matzah min hasal, then there's a wafer matzah, but these and that has to be brought for a regular nazir. But here these shlamim do not require that lechem. Why? Because when it comes to these breads or it comes to these matzahs, it says v'nosan al kapeh ha-nozir, and he shall place it on the hands of the kohen, places it on the hands of the nozir. But there's no hands of a nozir here. She's not a nazira. He broke her naziras. So that part, we don't go through with that. She doesn't have to go through with that. We bring any of the matzahs. This is in a case, our Mishnah so far has been discussing a case where she had reserved three animals. And we've just made a difference. The Mishnah makes a clear difference between whether they are hers or whether they were her husband's, and he just gave it to her for the purpose of a Naziris. Now our Mishnah turns to a different case. Hoyu la mois stumim. What happens if she didn't have it? She didn't set aside animals. She didn't get to that stage yet. She had only set aside money, but the money was not reserved for in each particular korban. She put aside the money for the chatos and the shlamim, but she didn't yet say which coins or which money is for a chatos, which is for Allah, which is the shlamim. Well, in that case, yiplu lindava. All the money can be used for a nedava. There was a special box in the Beis HaMikdash where they would keep it for gift offerings, and people could offer from their money what's called olas nedava, a gift ola. Why? Because that's all you can do. You can only offer gifts as oilers as a gift. You can't offer as a sin offering as a gift. But here, none of the money, not one penny of the money had been reserved for any particular korban, so therefore we can now use them all as a nedava. But mois mufuroshim. What happens if she had money that she had reserved and specified? These are the chatos and this is the shlamim and this is the oiler money. All of the monies had been reserved for each particular purpose. Then the money that was reserved for korban chatos has to be thrown away in the ocean. Just throw it away. You can't spend it. You can't use it. You throw it away where no one can retrieve it. And one's not allowed to benefit from these monies. But if one does, one does not commit a violation of Hakdash, which is called Me'ilah. Why? Because, and you wouldn't have to bring a korban Me'ilah, which is the korban that you bring if one violates or uses Hakdash for one's own good and needs. Now, why is it? It's not properly Hakdash, this money, because since it has to be thrown in the ocean, it doesn't have a din of Hakdash Gomer. It's not properly Hakdash. Demei Oila. However, the money that was reserved for the korban oila, yovi oila, they bring a korban oila, elas nadava, a gift offering. Umayalimbahan, and here we're very strict. If a person has a nah from these monies, he would have to bring a korban mila. It's a korban that's brought for violating Hector's property. And pay, furthermore, karen and a chomish. He'd pay the principal plus a chomish plus a fib. Dumei shlamim, what are the money that was reserved for a korban shlamim? Yoviyo shlamim, that can be brought as a korban shlamim. And again, and as far as Me'ilah is concerned, there will be no din of Me'ilah, of violating the shlam of Hakdash, if it's before the blood has been sprinkled. V'necholin liyom echad, and once again, as we said before, when one buys the shlamim with this money, the shlamim can only be eaten for one day and a night, unlike a normal korban shlamim, once again, because it retains the status of a shalmei nazir, the money, this is. And ve'einon tun lechem, but when one brings the shlamim, it does not need the accompanying bread that an ozer normally would bring. For the same reason we said before, the Torah describes how the bread or the matzah has to be placed al kapeh ha-nozer, on the hands of the nozer. And as we said before, there is no Nazirite. She's not a Nazirite because he's broken her neder, her vow. Mishnah. We continue from the previous Mishnah, talking about a woman who took upon herself to be a Nazira and set aside three animals at the end of her Nazirite. Now we're going to talk about what point the husband cannot break the vow of her Naziras. Nizrak alau echod min hadamim, says the Tanakhama. If one of if the blood of any one of the Kabbonis has already been sprinkled on the Mizbeach, too late. Any yochel offer. The husband cannot break the Nazirus. Even though she hasn't yet shaved her hair, she hasn't yet brought the rest of the Kabbonis, the breaking of the vow will not help now. Because once one of the bloods has been sprinkled, she's allowed to drink wine and matam lemesim. And therefore, the neder, there isn't any more a neder of inu nefesh, of something which hurts her, which is painful. The whole idea or the whole rationale of a husband being able to break a vow of a woman of being of a Nazira is because it's painful, because she's hurting herself, she's abstaining from wine and from matam lemesim. But once one of the bloods has been sprinkled, there is no more restrictions about drinking wine, matam lemesim, so there's nothing for him to break anymore. He can't break the neder. Rabbi Akiva says, not only if one of the bloods has been sprinkled, even before that, afilu nishchata aleha achas mikol ha-behemos, ein yochel ofer. Even if any one of these three animals has been shechted and the blood has not yet been sprinkled, that's already too late for the husband to break the vow of her Nazirus. And the reason the Gemara says this is because we don't want Kotshim to lose out. If now he breaks it, you'll lose the korban that's been shechted. What are you going to do with it? So therefore we say, no, he can't break the vow anymore. But Medvarimorim, when do we say this, that he cannot break the vow, either according to Rabbi Akiva after Shchita or according to the Tanakama after the Zrika of the blood? This is Betiglachas Hataro. That's referring in the case of the haircut, of the shaving that she did, that covered her hair, at the end of her Nazirus, when she completed it in a state of Tara, and she brings the Kabbonis of Tara on the day of her haircut, on the day of her shaving her hair. And then one of the animals was shechted according to Rabbi Akiva, or one of the animals' bloods was sprinkled according to Tanakama. Then we say, since the Nazirus was completed, and all she needs to do is cutting the hair, we say she's already mutter in wine. Well, then in that case, there's no inoy nefesh. There's no pain, and there's nothing between them. There's no inoy nefesh. There's nothing hurting her, and therefore the husband cannot break it. Avol betik lachas hatuma. But if she's bringing the karbonos, not as a Nazira who has completed successfully Naziris, but as someone who failed in her Naziris, she became Tomei. And if a person becomes Tomei, there's also three Kabbonis to be brought, slightly different Kabbonis. But then, since she hasn't yet completed her Nazirus, Yofer, husband can break the Nazirus. Shehu Yochalemer, he can say, I don't want her to start, I don't want my wife to start again counting a Nazirus in a state of Tara. I don't want her to have a wife who's a Nazira, who doesn't drink wine, who pains herself because of it. And therefore the husband can break the Nazirus. Because it's only at the Tumah stage. She still has to count the whole Nazirus again in Tara. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Afetik lachas atara. He argues with the Tanakama and with Rabbi Akiva. He says that even after the blood has been sprinkled of the Karbonis of her Tara, and she's allowed to drink wine and have a haircut, as long as she hasn't actually cut her hair, Yofer, he can break the vow. Why? In order that she doesn't have a haircut. Shehu yochel emer, because then he can say, I don't want a woman who's shaved all her hair off. It's disgusting. I don't want that. And therefore, I'm breaking the vow now. Therefore, Rabbi holds that even at that stage, even after the sprinkling of the blood of any one of the Kabbonis, the husband can still, it's still not too late for the husband to break the vow. Once she's shaved the hair, that's too late. The Tanakama, however, doesn't worry about this. The Tanakama says that the husband couldn't use this as a reason to break the vow, because she can easily wear a shaitel, she can wear pe'e nochris, as it's called, and therefore that's not grounds for breaking the vow of Nazirus. And once any one of the bloods is sprinkled, it can't break it. According to Rabbi, the husband can still say, oh, he doesn't want to, I don't want her to go around or having to wear a false wig, to pay a nochris on it, and therefore he can still break it. Who's the halacha like? The halacha is like the Tanakama. Not like Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabbi. The halacha is that only once one of the bloods has been sprinkled, on the Mizbeach, only when that's happened, the husband can no longer break the vow of his wife of it being a Nezirus.